mercy and peace to you from God our Father and from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. During World War II, the Royal Air Force flew Danny's favorite plane of all time, the Spitfire. The Spitfire. The Spitfire. There we go. It's a wonderful plane. Watching those planes fly all over the RKO newsreels, the young boy came to believe the pilots were fearless. And if a pilot flew a Spitfire, Danny thought he would always hit his target and always he would return home. Well, one day the British consul from Minneapolis was to come to Danny's town to visit. Danny's dad was chairperson of the county war bond drive, so that gave him the honor of entertaining the British consul. His mother, Suzanne, went crazy with preparations. She brought in all her friends. She hired a cleaning service to clean the house. She even went downtown to buy a new dress. The day the British consul arrived, 40 people crammed into the three small rooms to welcome this man. Each one of those people could not wait to tell this tall, thin diplomat from England about the town, about how patriotic it was, about he or she had an aunt or a great aunt in London, about how well the war was going. Suzanne was running around trying to serve everybody and greet everybody and make sure everybody had a place to sit. And did they want more of this or did they want more of that? In general, working hard to be sure all were having a suitable time. Finally, the British consul sat down, and for a split second, he was by himself. The host had left him to get him a drink. All other guests momentarily had turned away. Danny saw his chance. He ran to him. Even though the consul was sitting, the boy still had to stand on his tiptoes to whisper into his ear, "Tell me about Spitfires." The tall man looked at the 8-year-old boy. He smiled. He relaxed. And he said, "Spitfires? I will tell you a story about Spitfires. I flew one early in the war. It was splendid. I shot down a Messerschmitt and I came home alive. The next time I was not so lucky. That's why I'm not flying anymore. What is your name?" Danny told him his name and the British consul promised, "I'll send you some pictures of Spitfires." About a month later, a letter came from Minneapolis. Inside was a folder about Spitfires and a note from the British consul. "Dear Danny, I enjoyed talking with you. Good luck." And he signed his name. Danny was the only person who did not barrage the consul's ears with information about the town and America's patriotism. This small boy was the only one who said, "Tell me about Spitfires." He was the only one who listened to him, even if it was just for a few minutes. In our gospel text today, Jesus needs someone to listen. At this part of his ministry, Jesus had begun his journey to Jerusalem, where he knows he will go through the bitter road of betrayal by one of his disciples, denial and abandonment of the remaining disciples, death on the cross, and on to glory of resurrected life. As he began his journey, we heard on the third Sunday after Pentecost, Jesus entered a Samaritan village where the villagers said, "You can't stay here." His disciples wanted to burn the village to the ground. Luke 9 captured it this way on our Sunday, "But he turned and rebuked them." Now, a little sidebar. It's always good to read the small print and the notes in a Bible, or different versions. At the end of verse 55 in the Lutheran Study Bible, you'll see a tiny footnote, number 2. Again, it's always interesting to read those. Anyway, the footnote shares that some manuscripts add, "And he said to them, you do not know what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man came not to destroy people's lives, but to save them." If you're reading a King James Version, you'll find that's how it reads in the King James Version. "Another man came to ask, I will follow you, but first let me go and say farewell to those back home. And Jesus replied, no one puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Then Jesus sent out 72 disciples to teach and to heal the sick. When they came back, they said, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Jesus had to remind them, don't rejoice that the spirits are subject to you, he said. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Then last week we heard how a lawyer asked Jesus what he had to do to inherit eternal life. Jesus said, love the Lord your God, love your neighbor, and love yourself. The lawyer, seeking to justify himself, went on, and who is my neighbor? I wonder if at times Jesus was frustrated and tired and just shook his head. In our text, Jesus goes to the home of his good friends, Mary and Martha, the sisters of Lazarus. I can imagine Jesus coming in and flopping on the bench, shaking his head and saying, they're all missing it. Martha runs into the kitchen to get him something to drink. Maybe he didn't even notice her leave. Mary sat at his feet and listened. They're all missing it, he might have gone on. My disciples want to burn villages to the ground or want to go home for 3 months to say goodbye to everybody before they do anything. They will never get started. Mary kept on listening. I told this lawyer who wanted to do something to inherit eternal life to say his prayer every day. Love the Lord, love God with your whole mind and soul and strength. And then I told him, love your neighbor as yourself. Do you know what he said? And who is my neighbor? So I told him the story of the Good Samaritan, but I don't think he got it. I wonder where this mission I am on is going. Mary kept on listening. Mary listened because she believed that in listening to Jesus, she would hear the Word of God reaching to her and calling to her. She listened to whatever he had to say. She would grow as his word planted itself in her heart. They would grow together, one speaker with one listener. But then out of the kitchen comes Martha. Lord, she hollered, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to get up and help me. Martha had heard nothing that Jesus had to say. Martha kept imposing her own agenda on the Lord. Martha could not let things be. She could not let things just cool down. That is what Jesus needed to do, but Martha had to stir it up, hustle and bustle in the kitchen, distracting concerns, so she did not have time to listen to what was really going on in the heart of Jesus, or maybe in her own heart. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. I guess I could read these verses as Jesus answering her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about too many things. You need to listen for a while. For a long while, you need to let things cool down in your life. Too many cares are distracting you. Only one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen the good portion. I found it interesting that the very next sentence, which is Luke 1, reads this way. He was praying in a certain place. Maybe Jesus was praying out loud when Mary sat at his feet. She was listening to his prayer. Jesus spoke to God about everything, sometimes alone, sometimes with people like Mary around to hear. Poor Martha, she missed it. She had too many concerns and distractions. In the next chapter of Luke, we will read, as he said these things, a woman in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts at which you nurse." But Jesus said, "Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it." Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Martin Luther, always a fun author to read, Martin Luther said that those who listen are those who are truly wise, because they are always begin anew so that they may forget the things that are behind and stretch themselves to what is ahead. But the lukewarm and the hypocrites, he said, think they have already chosen what is best. They forget what is before them and fall back into what is behind them. And there they rest and snore. Good listeners. That is what Jesus gifts us to be. As good listeners, we press forward and forget the things that are behind. We reach out with our ears open to what God is calling each of us to be and to do, and to what maybe our congregation should be in the future. He will speak to us through many different people and in unique ways. He brings new voices to sing with us, new voices to speak with us. He brings new voices to grow with us as we listen. He will speak to us in His Word and through His sacraments of baptism and Holy Communion. He will speak to us in those whom we love and who love us. And sometimes, He will even speak to us in the voices of our adversaries. But only one thing is needful: to sit at the feet of Jesus and to hear, to listen and hear His word. This is the good portion to choose. We close in prayer. Father, we pray that as the Holy Spirit illuminates Your word in our hearts, that it may take root and show us ourselves and show us our Savior, and that You will make Your word alive in each of us so that we can go forward and choose to slow down and listen daily, all day, to Your Spirit. Amen. We have the